Welcome to the Colleyville Assembly of God podcast. Our heart is to be completing people in Christ. We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information, visit cvassembly.org.
I'm excited this morning. I want to share some things with you. You know, every year at the beginning of the year, people talk about, well, I need to get in shape. I need to do better financially. I need to do all of this and that. And I think the same is true in the church. I think sometimes we need a reminder of why we do what we do. And so my thought this morning is I wanted it to feel like we were sitting just having a cup of coffee. Sitting having a cup of coffee and I could just kind of share my heart with you. Unfortunately, I don't have any coffee up here, but rest assured, no, I'm fine. Thank you though. I do appreciate you offering though. I have had some this morning, and I was with somebody, I forget, I think Ms. Judy told me, she said, you know, I'm happy because I had meat this morning. And I told her, I said, I'm going to tear some meat up after church. I didn't this morning, but I will hit it hard in a little while. But I'm excited because I want to share with you some of the vision and the values of the church. Vision's a big deal. As a leader, vision's a really big deal to me. But as the lead pastor of the church, it's something that has to come from the throne room to me, to then trickle down to kind of describe who we are and what we do. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer and then we're going to jump into this, all right? Gracious Father, I thank you so very much because you are a wonderful God. I thank you, Lord, that you love us and you care for us. And Father, I thank you that you're in this house right now. I pray, God, for the next few minutes that you would just speak to us. Let us hear from you. Do a work in our hearts, do a work in our lives, God. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I want to share something with you this morning. I liked it a little interactive at the beginning. First of all, you need to know that ever since I was a small child up now into my close to mid-40s, I'm not there yet, my mid-40s-ish, I've been a huge Star Wars fan. Okay? So much so that right now I'm preaching in R2-D2 socks. All right? R2-D2 socks. Not only that, if you were to go into my office, one of the things that you would find in my office is I have a 2-foot-tall Darth Vader. Yeah. Now, for those of you who don't feel like that's professional enough, he's underneath my master's degree. So I think that balances it, right? But I love Star Wars. Love everything. And I'm going to put Darth right here. Because I want you guys to, every time you see a commercial or anything, remember what I'm talking about this morning. You know, the thing is, like, my biggest regret when it comes to Star Wars right now is that I've not seen Episode 8 more than once in the theater, okay? When I was a kid, I had every figure, I had every action figure, I had them all. And the thing is, if I had them now today, it would be worth a small fortune. And so I'm a little disappointed on that part. But I tell you that because I've seen all 9 movies. I've created monsters in my 3 children because they have seen all 9 movies more than once. They can quote the movies. We get excited when we saw there was a commercial for a new one coming out. But I tell you all of that for a reason. I really do. So please don't check out on me. Please don't be like, I don't know the difference between Star Wars and Star Trek. I pray for you. I'll walk you through that. I'm here for you. All right. But here's the thing. In Episode 5, which my opinion is one of the best, The Empire Strikes Back. Luke Skywalker, who's probably one of the main characters, goes to another planet for training. And he trains with a guy by the name of Yoda. All right? Yoda's kind of this awesome teacher guy. But here's why I'm telling you all that, because some of you are going, what is spiritual about this? Follow me. Just trust me. Trust me. In Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back, Luke goes for training. And as he's there, there's a scene where he's training with Yoda. And all of a sudden, he has a vision of his friends in pain. He has a vision. He sees what they're in a bad place. And he decides he needs to go to them. And Yoda begs him to wait. He says, Luke, you must wait. You've got to complete the training. Luke says, I've seen the future. He's had this vision. He knows their lives are in danger. And so Luke actually makes a statement. He says, I can't keep the vision out of my head. They're my friends. I must help them. And Yoda issues a dire warning. So there are probably very few pastors this morning that are quoting Yoda in their sermon. But Yoda said this, he goes, if you leave now, help them, you could, but you'll destroy all they have fought and suffered. See, Luke is determined to go because he had a vision of what could be. He was locked in on the potential future. So Luke was ready to move past all these other things to lock in on this one piece. And if you remember, everything works out. But how many of you know everything working out all the time? That's in a galaxy far, far away. It doesn't always work that way here, right? Oh, that was a good transition. I thought that was funny. Anyways, it does. But here where we live, action before preparation usually spells disaster. Action before preparation usually spells disaster. So this morning, we're going to talk about the vision and the values of the church. P.K. Barnard said this, a man without a vision is a man without a future. A man without a future always returns to his past. We've got to understand this church, 50 plus years. This past October, we celebrated 50 years. We've got a beautiful storied past. But if we return to what we were, will never be what we need to be in the future. The goal, the vision, the values of the church is to be super intentional and moving forward to be what God has for the church to be. That's why the Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. I think some of you, your version will say, where there is no vision, the people perish. But blessed, and we always stop there, but there's a rest of a verse. It says, but blessed is he who keeps the law. You need to understand this morning, every organization, including a church, has to have a vision. And I wish that it was not a Feed by Grace day, because we got a big team down serving at Feed by Grace this morning. I'm hoping they'll catch this. But I want you to hear this piece. I want you to hear the vision of my heart. See, if you don't have a vision, you'll never know if you've arrived. And you'll never know where you're going. See, every church should have the same mission, to seek and to save the lost. Okay, if a church is not about seeking and saving the lost, they've missed their biblical mandate. But the vision is specific. And without that, we're in trouble. See, vision, it's unique to Colleyville Assembly of God. Vision is the bridge. And hear me when I say this. Vision is the bridge between the present and their preferred future. Let me say that again. The vision is the bridge between the present and the preferred future. Without that bridge, we perish. Without that bridge, we go unrestrained, is what the ESV says. So vision gives purpose. And hear me when I say this. When you're going through pain as a result of a situation, vision gives purpose to the pain. When you're hurting, but you're hurting because you're really going the right direction with something, there's purpose to the pain. There's purpose to the pain. Those without vision, and here's the thing that kind of scares me. Those without vision, they spend their lives constantly looking for the easy road. They're constantly looking for the easy way out. They're looking for what's comfortable. They're looking for what they've always known. They're looking for what's always been. And I really believe this, that the level of sacrifice reflects the size of the person that follows the vision. Do you hear me? Let me say that again. The level of sacrifice reflects the size of the person who follows the vision. What would motivate the apostles to all face martyrdom? They caught the vision that Jesus laid out. Sacrifice separates the small from the great. Let me kind of explain it this way a little bit. I read one blog that gave this illustration. Imagine this. There's a young man. He graduates from high school and he decides to go to the military. All right. So he's on the bus going to boot camp. He gets off the bus. What happens? He's immediately got somebody yelling at him, right? A sergeant's just laying into him. He's then taken over to get his head shaved. Now, some of you need to embrace that because bald is beautiful, all right? Let me just go ahead and balance that statement now. Bald is beautiful. But they go over, they get their head shaved, and then the next morning when, you know what, let's face it, if they're 18, chances are they have not seen, you know, they've not seen 5 a.m. in quite some time. Right? Now they're up, they're exercising, somebody's yelling at them and they're talking about their mama. What is it that would motivate that same young man who a month earlier would not have even thought about being okay with that? He had a vision for what was on the other side of boot camp. It gave a purpose to that pain. There was a joy on the other side of the process. It's called vision. But notice the second part of that verse, he says, blessed is he. Or happy is he, depending on your version, who keeps the law. This is not just the law that God gave Moses, yes. But it's also a series of disciplines. It's a series of areas to focus to achieve something incredible. To achieve something spectacular. It's vision. See, we all have vision in our personal lives. Whether you realize it or not, you do. Let me give you an example. Glenda and I went on our first cruise 4 years ago. Something like that. And as far as I'm concerned, there is no other way to travel. There's no other way to vacation. You eat like there's no tomorrow. And you get to see stuff, but you get to eat. No. Anyways, we had decided with our kids getting the ages that they are, that we wanted to take our kids on a cruise. And most of you know that, you know, we took Mariah down to Southwestern. You know, our world is shifting, and that's happening in our lives right now. So one last kind of big family vacation before they get too big for their britches is we wanted to go on a cruise together. Well, in order for us to achieve that, we had to start making decisions a year ago to achieve that. We started saving money up, little things here and there, we would do that. You know, and so the majority of our kids' Christmas this year will be, hey, we're going to go on a cruise. So understand, we had to make decisions now to achieve the vision that we have. Maybe you want a healthier marriage. Well, if that's the case, then you need to be real intentional to show your spouse love. You're not going to have a healthier marriage if you don't change what you're doing. There's got to be a process where practical daily decisions now affect a preferred future. So little decisions now do that. The same is true in the church. Decisions that we make today have a direct impact on where the church will be 6 months, a year, and 5 years from now. So it's practical little daily steps. Now, as I say that, I want you to know for the past almost six and a half years now that I've been pastor, God has been speaking things to my heart for Colleyville Assembly of God. Things that are amazing, things that are wonderful, things that are powerful, things that are exciting, and in all honesty, things that are a little frightening at times. Because if it's all my ability, then we're in trouble. It's got to be what God wants to do. And it's those same daily decisions that follow God's lead. So what does that look like? Let me kind of start to lay out a little bit of my vision for the church. First of all, I want you to understand that I know that we are in the land of the giants. You go 10, 15 minutes any direction, you're going to hit at least one mega church. Okay? You just will. There are mega churches all around us. But my heart's not to do that. My heart is not to build some 1,500, 2,000 seat building over here and run that. That's not my heart. My heart is to build this church with God's help. Get this church to about 450 people. Take 50 people and a staff pastor and mother a church. Build back up and do it again. Build back up and do it again. Build back up and do it again. I want to plant churches in Bedford and in Watauga and in Keller. I want to plant churches all over there. Why? Because I feel like we can have a more effective Pentecostal voice in the community, the mid-cities area, by planting multiple churches than by building a 2,000-seat building. That's me. That's what God has spoken to my heart. The big churches, I'm not knocking that. I'm saying what God has spoken to my heart. Are you with me on that? So that's part of the vision that God has given me, is that we can impact the mid-cities with a very real Pentecostal voice. That's what makes us different. We're not going to try and outdo anybody in the way they do it. What we're going to do is we're going to try and be real intentional in simply being who God's called us to be. So how do we do that? Well, first of all, you need to know that we have vision and values, and they're all over the place. There's a beautifully framed poster that Luis created for us out here in the lobby. There's another one hanging next to the whiteboard in the conference room as we're making staff and board meeting decisions. It's right there. It's on the website. And why would we do that? Well, Habakkuk 2:2-3, he says, and the Lord answered me, write the vision and make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. So we've got our vision statement. We've got our core values, the things that drive us all over the place. Now, why is a core value important? A core value is important because it helps us make decisions. It helps us say yes to what fits the vision and no to what doesn't. There may be times it's a really good idea, but if it doesn't lock in to the vision that God's given, it's not good for us. So it helps us say no to the good so we can say yes to the best. Are you with me? So what is that? What's the plan? What is the vision piece that for our church? The portable vision piece is simply this. It's completing people in Christ. That's who we are. That's what we exist to do. A vision helps narrow it down and put the church where it needs to be. See, Clady Keith said this statement. She said, a knife cuts because it has a narrow focus. So we've got to have a narrow focus because we don't want to try and take what somebody up the street does. Well, it's working for them. Let's bring it in here and do that. That's not us. We don't have that DNA. God gave them a word. What we need is to get into our prayer time and let God give us a word. Let God speak and let God birth things into our lives. And if we're going to be about completing people, that's what God's speaking, then we've got to be intentional in that process. I want you to notice something. Can you go back to that graphic real quick, the completing people in Christ? Completing people in Christ. You'll notice it doesn't say to complete people or complete or completed, but it's completing. It implies it starts and it's ongoing. I've got bad news for you. You will not reach perfection on this side of heaven. Did I just blow your theology? Do you need counseling now? Or do you need a hug? I'll give you. But I want you to do this. I want you to look at the person next to you and say, you're not perfect. And then say, however I am. No, just don't do that. Don't do that. Did I came close to losing you, didn't I? Fact of the matter is this. It's going to be an ongoing thing. So what does that look like? Now, I want you to know that this could be a multi-week series, but I don't have that kind of time. So I'm going to just give you a couple of highlights of what that will look like. First and foremost, it's that people have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't complete somebody in Christ if they don't have a relationship with Jesus. Okay? And again, you heard me say it last week when we talked about one more. If we're not actively, intentionally being about lost people coming to know Jesus, what are we doing? We've missed it. The fact is, what we need to do is understand that the thing that is nearest and dearest to the heart of the Master is that lost people come to know Jesus. Pure and simple. So that honestly drives me. That drives me in an incredible way. That's the thing that honestly kind of keeps me up at night, is there are people that are dying and going to hell, and what are we doing about it? So what does that look like? Well, first of all, you need to know, for people to come to know Jesus, we know that people are going to be in the building. So one of the ways that we're going to do that is we do big days. We're going to do 3 big days in 2018. We're going to do Easter. That's a big day. And so the second week of fasting will be the week leading up to that. And we're going to ask God to give us people that are going to come to know Jesus. We're going to do our very best. We're also going to do a friend day with Sam Farina. Those of you that were here with Sam Farina about a year ago when we honored our first responders, Sam's coming back to do a friend day. Now that Friday night and Saturday that weekend, he's doing a weekend on prophecy, a prophecy seminar for us, and then a big friend day that morning. Okay? And then we're going to do Christmas in Colleyville again. We're going to change it up. But those are the 3 big days. So here's why I'm telling you that. Because we'll always do our best. We will always do our best. One of the core values of our church is that there is a spirit of excellence in who we are and what we do. We want it to be the very, very best. Why? Because we want you to be comfortable bringing your friend here and not think we're going to do something weird. And you're like, dude, there's Darth Vader on the stage. That's not weird. That's cool. All right. And I'm more than happy to help you understand that difference. No, but I tell you that because we're not going to do anything strange. We're not going to do anything that's halfway done. Okay. We come in, I have a timer. Everything that happens, we try and plan it to the minute, except for the Holy Spirit. We don't put him on a timer. He used to do it's his church. He wants to come in and do his own thing. We'll throw the timer out the window and let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. But we'll do our very best so that you're comfortable with it. And you'll notice every single Sunday, we will present the gospel. 52 times this year, the gospel will be presented, an opportunity for somebody to come to know Jesus. Why? Because that's part of completing people in Christ. Let me give you an example of kind of what I'm talking about, though, the spirit of excellence. If you go back and you look at the parables, there's a parable about the seeds, right? And there are 4 kinds of ground. Do you guys remember the parable I'm talking about? There's the good soil. There's the rocky soil. There's the soil where it allowed the thorns to choke it out, and then where the birds came and ate it. Okay? What's the same thing in all 4 of those? The seed. The word. Okay? The word of God will be preached in this church just like it has been for 50 years. What's different in those four scenarios? It was the environment. Our job will be to create an environment that will engage somebody that doesn't know Jesus. If they don't know Jesus and they've never been in a situation where they knew Jesus, then most of the traditions don't connect to them. I'm not saying we throw all traditions out. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is we're going to be really intentional to make sure that we can connect and create an environment where somebody who doesn't know Jesus can come in and meet Jesus. Because hear me when I say this, and I'm dead serious when I say this. I will do anything short of sin to see somebody know Jesus. Short of sin, I will do anything for somebody to know Jesus. We want to create that level of excellence. So, first part of completing people in Christ is letting people get to know Jesus. The second piece, this is where we start to kick in, is that we have people who are soul winners. We're intentional in being soul winners. I talked about it a little bit last week, but let me share some with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul tells us, he says, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law." He got under the law in there quite a bit, didn't he? "To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I may win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them, or share with them in its blessings." We have to be intentional as a church to be soul winners. One of the core values is that we challenge people to start to win people in your sphere of influence. You're going to come across people I'm not going to come across. It may be at work. It may be at the grocery store. It may be, you know, when your kids are playing T-ball. Whatever the relationships look like, you've got to look for those opportunities and start to influence them for Jesus. Again, I'm not saying you're beating people over the head, but you're simply looking for an opportunity to share your story. See, what I want us to understand is a lot of times we feel like we've got to attain some incredible level of spiritual experience and knowledge before we can share the good news. There's nothing biblical that says that. Here's what you need to do. You need to have had an encounter with Jesus. That's it. There's something about saying, you know what? I can't tell you everything about it, but what I can tell you is Jesus changed me. You don't have to be able to explain all of the Pauline theology. You don't have to be really fluent with end time prophecy. Okay? You don't have to be an expert in the Levitical law. All you need to do is share what Jesus did. Let me give you another example. How many of you remember a couple years ago when gas was like $45 a gallon? How many of you remember that? It wasn't quite $45, I know. It's like $42.50. But I remember that. And I've got a truck that I love, but it'll pass everything but a gas station. Okay? It drinks it. So here's the deal. I remember when gas was way up there, people were posting online, "Hey, I found gas for this amount." And then people were like, "Dude, I'm driving 40 miles to save 40 cents a gallon." All right. You know what I'm talking? You guys remember those things? And even KLTY, every morning, "We found cheap gas at this place, this place, and this place, and this place." Now, were these people experts in petroleum? No. What they were is, "Hey, I found cheap gas. I'm going to tell you about it." It's the same thing. You don't have to have a master's in theology. You just have to have an experience and a story. Now, some of you may be like, "Yeah, but I don't have," and we talked, Andy Stanley talked about this Wednesday night. You may be like, "Man, I don't have a story, okay? I never touched alcohol." That is a story. My wife is in that category, and she could tell the story. She could talk to somebody saying, "You know what? I never did that stuff. God kept me." We have both ends of that spectrum covered. All right? So understand, just share your story. Look for an opportunity to tell what Jesus did. So people come to know Jesus. Being soul winners, here's another big piece in completing people in Christ. We need people that are growing. We need people that are growing. People who are being completed in Christ are people who want to grow in their walk. Here's what I mean. Look at this. Look what Paul said to the church in Ephesus. "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way to him who is the head, into Christ." In other words, we need to grow up. It's not okay. Okay, I love you when I say this. All right? If you have 1 year of experience with Christ 40 times, that doesn't mean you have 40 years experience. That means you have 1 year 40 times over. If you're not growing in your walk, then you're declining in your walk. There's no such thing as a plateau. If we really want to be completing people in Christ, then we've got to be looking for opportunities to grow. We need to grow in our walk. We need to be looking for ways that we can go from here to here, from glory to glory. We can't, we'll never finish it. Again, we won't finish it on this side of eternity, but we can't be saying, you know what? I'm good. I'm good. I've reached a point. I don't think so. I don't think it's biblical. Say, well, I've been in the way for 40 years. Well, get out of the way and let God do something. Grow. You know what I'm saying? What does Jesus want to do for us? We've got to become, listen to me, we've got to be more like him in the way we love. We've got to be more like him in the way we serve. We've got to be more like him in the way we care. We've got to be more like him in the way we're faithful. We've got to be more like him in the way we love, in the closeness of our walk. We've been challenging you to do devotions 5 out of 7 days a week. Get into that devotional life. Spend time in the word. Let God start to speak to you. Spend that time. We've got all kinds of devotional resources back there. Connect to that. Look for those ways to look at. Be passionate in the way you serve. Be passionate in the way, are you ready for this? In the way you give. Being intentional in that piece. Steve Hill once said this. He goes, if you're not closer to Jesus today than what you were yesterday, you're backslidden. Right in the mouth. He's an evangelist. I'm going to put it this way. My challenge is if you can remember a time where you were closer to the Lord in any of those arenas than you are now, you need to ask God to restore you. You need to ask God to start to do a work of restoration in your life. And here's the thing. It's not always an emotional thing. It's not. Sometimes it's just here. You've got a purpose in your mind. It's the ability to look at your walk with Christ. Are you following me on this? To look at your walk and ask hard questions. Say, am I growing like I need to be? You know, am I there? Am I at church only when I'm serving? Do I give just when I have a little bit extra? Do I serve only when I have time? I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on. Please don't hear. Don't hear that. I am just saying sometimes we're not growing because we allow other things to choke that out. Let's grow in those in our walk. So growing is a big piece of that, but growing kind of connects people that are being completed in Christ. They're people that are serving. As Christ followers, being completed in his image, we've got to serve other people. We've got to be really super intentional in the way we serve other people. And the higher your level of leadership, hear me when I say this, the higher your level of leadership, the more you have to serve. If you want to hold a position of leadership in the church, and we want that, we want to create those opportunities. We've got some great leaders. But hear me when I say this. If you're too big to do something menial, you're too big for ministry in the kingdom. Looking for those little things. Okay? When I first went on staff at Outreach of Love, my first Sunday there, man, I was excited. Or my first day in the office. I was in the office, and I was like, yeah, I'm in the church office. I've arrived. 20 years later, no. But so I show up and I'm dressed in an office dress. I'm in my khakis and my polo and it's tucked in and all kinds of stuff. And I walk in and the pastor looks at me and he walks out of his office and looks at me and he's in like jeans that are all painted on and a nasty shirt and a ball cap. He goes, all right, let's go. I'm like, where are we going? It's August, mind you, so it's 3,000 degrees outside. We get in the van, and we go, and we bought mud to tape and bed the new Family Life Center. And I'm in the van while he's taking them, and he's throwing these boxes of mud. I'm catching and stacking. This was not what I anticipated. I thought I was going to come in, and I was going to get into deep theological things. And no. And you know what? About the fifth time when I'm doing this, I'm wiping all the sweat off. He goes, welcome to the ministry. Kept throwing it to me. And you know what? I learned something then. Ask what we're doing. Yeah, I'm just kidding. But the fact is, if you're too big, if you're too influential to do something little, then you're not really influential. Leadership is willing to do the small things. It's willing to do the small things. So how do you serve? Let me give you two quick examples of areas you can serve in. First area that I think you can serve in is generational. Look for opportunities to honor and serve the generation in each direction from you. You know, look for those ways. You know, a big value for us is give honor where honor is due. And to honor and serve, especially those of you that are in my generation, the generations that are older than us, let's look for those opportunities to serve and love. I don't just say this, and I would never just say this, but I will always look for an opportunity to serve the McCutcheons because of who they are, because of the role that they've served in this church, because of the role they serve in mine and Glenda's lives. I'll always look for that because he's my mentor, but he's my friend. And I'll always want to give honor because honor is due. But the same is true the other way. Older generations, we need to give younger generations the opportunity to stretch their wings. Let's start to identify leaders and give them the opportunity to fail. And when they do, we're not like, should have known it. Instead, let's say, you know what? I want to empower you. Let me pour into you. I'm thankful that 14 years ago almost, Pastor McCutcheon saw something in me, a goofy 30-year-old, and he spent time pouring into me. There's something to be said about generational serving and loving. That's the thing that sets us apart. This past week, I had to fill out a form for the general counsel, and I had to give the age breakdown of our church. And I offered the staff big bucks if they would do it, and none of them would do it for me. I mean, we're talking like five digits, but they just blew me off. But as I spread it all out, and I know we got a lot of people out with the flu today and people that are serving down at Feed by Grace, it was amazing to me to see the even spread over our church of the different age groups. It blew my mind. I knew it, but to see it was really, really powerful. It's encouraging. There's something to be said about being really super intentional to serve in other generations. Let me give you another opportunity. Another one is just simply looking for ministry opportunities. The writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints. And he says, as you still do. When you serve, you do so in love. Paul told the church in Galatia, in Galatians 5:13, he said, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Look for opportunities to serve. Because here, listen to me carefully. When you serve other people in love, you're serving the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter what role you're in, you're serving the kingdom. Let me give you an example. I'm excited here. Okay. If you were to, there's a story about this guy that walked up to these brickmakers or these bricklayers. Okay. First guy, he's laying brick. This guy walks up to him and goes, hey man, what are you doing? He goes, what does it look like I'm doing? I'm laying brick. He's like, all right. Goes to the next guy, goes, hey man, what are you doing? He goes, I'm building the wall. Saw a little bit bigger picture than the first guy, didn't he? Then he goes to the third guy and goes, hey, what are you doing? He goes, I'm building a grand cathedral for God. They were all three doing the same thing. But the third guy had the big picture in mind. The first guy just had his piece. So hear me. I don't care if you're working in the nursery or preschool, if you're on the worship team, if you're in the tech booth, if you're a parking lot, if you're greeters, whatever role, Sunday school teaching, whatever role you serve, hear me. You're not just doing a job because that's the job to do. When you do it, you are serving the kingdom of God. You are serving people. You are serving God when you do this. So please don't just say, oh, I change bottoms, though that's important. Okay? I'm telling you, moms and dads of little ones, is that important to pick up your baby dry? Yeah, it is. And God bless the people that do it. Come on. But you can't look at the ministry role you serve in and say, well, I just do this. Dwayne Lee brings water for me. Obviously, that's a big deal. I go through it. Just even little bitty things. Look for an opportunity and serving and understanding when you do it, you're not just serving, you're serving the kingdom of God. That's the beauty of the way the kingdom is made. And are you ready for this? When you serve someone, you're helping complete them and you're completing yourself at the same time. So plug in and serve people. Can I just say this real quick? I'm going to move on. I don't believe there's a such thing as a non-serving Christian. That's an oxymoron, and I don't believe in that. I didn't just call you a moron. So I was like, he called me a moron. No, I didn't. I promise. It's on Facebook Live. You can go back and look. What I am saying is there's such thing as somebody who's really connected to the kingdom and who doesn't serve. Right? So last one, we don't have time, but the idea of somebody being a believer, a soul winner, growing, serving. The fifth one that I'm going to, and again, there's a lot more, but I'm just hitting the highlights, the pillars. It's somebody who's connecting. It's somebody who's connecting. This is a monster, monster value for us. No one, hear me when I say this, no one should ever hurt alone, and no one should ever celebrate alone, period. We have a couple that we've not seen since the Christmas banquet. I called him this week. It's like, man, I'm not seeing you. He goes, oh, yeah, man. He said, you know, we've got a son in Virginia that goes to University of Virginia. So we went out and got him. So we were out two Sundays then, and then we're going to be taking him back. But we'll be back by the 1st of February. And I said, okay, because I told him then, I said, we didn't want you guys to be hurting, and we didn't know about it. So when somebody calls you from our care ministry, and they're like, hey, we missed you, it's not you're going to hell because you didn't come to church. It's simply, hey, we noticed you were missing. We want to make sure you're okay because we love you. There's something to be said about that peace and understanding. No one, because we're not built to do life alone. We're not. We're not wired that way. We're not built that way. We're built to do life in community. George Gallup, who does the Gallup polls, he said this. He goes, Americans are among the loneliest people in the world. Why? Because we all have garage door openers. Think about it. You pull in, you punch a button, you park because you don't want to talk to the people on each side of the house. You know, when you think about it, a few years ago, at least you got out and you said, hey, how are you? It was kind of that awkward exchange, but at least there was an exchange. Now it's like this. Push the button. You know what I'm, we don't do community as well anymore, and so we're lonely as it is. Look what Jesus did and prayed in John 17:11. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you gave me, that they may be one, even as we are one. In Jesus' high priestly prayer, we see the idea that the Trinity is one. We see the idea that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're in community. And if the Trinity's in community, how much more important is it that we're in community? We've got to be in those places where we're connected. Even the writer of Genesis shows that. Look in Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our likeness. We see all throughout Scripture that God, the beautiful Godhead, the adorable Godhead, is in community. We need each other. So one of our core values is that we believe that real spiritual growth happens in an environment that is fueled by genuine relationships, not superficial. Not something that just kind of, oh, hey, how are you? Good to see you. But we connect to each other. We care about each other. We love each other. I need you, you need me, we need each other. That's real. That's community. It's part of this that helps us become more like what Christ wants us to be. So as I get ready to wrap this up, Pastor Allen, if you'll come back for me, please. Let me just kind of wrap this up. This, like I said, it's just a little part of it, and we'll spend more time in the future defining pieces of completing people in Christ. All of the series this year are tied in to completing people in Christ and the idea of one more. It all ties in together, and you'll see that. But this is just part of that process. So what do you do? What can you do to be in the process of completing people in Christ? What is your action step? What is the piece to do today? Because we all need to be on the road to being completed in Christ, and we also need to be on the road to completing others in Christ. So what does that look like? Well, first of all, it simply is this. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, today's the day. See, Paul says, today's the day of salvation. We don't need to wait. We don't need to put it off. Today is the day.